recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. We're going to mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, dear friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Dr. Spaz in once again for Dr. Drew. How you doing, Spazzo?
Oh, it's just a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
it's to hear to you tell you. Me I'm smarter than Dr. Drew.
Not smarter.
Oh, what is it? Better doctor.
Better doctor.
Yeah, I'm not smarter.
That's no, sure. No. No, there's also, I've redefined smart. I have new definitions of smart. So I think we all grew up with a pretty simple definition of smart, which is when I went to like junior high, there were the smart kids and there were the dumb kids. And those, the smart kids got good grades and the dumb kids got bad grades.
Not necessarily functional.
I was just one of the dumb kids. And it was pretty much understood because that's the only unit and the only yardstick to measure anybody by was how you did at school. That's all. That's where you were all day. So if you didn't do well, then you're just a dumb kid. If you did well, you were the smart kid. Now, it didn't necessarily mean you were smart if you did well, and didn't necessarily mean you were dumb if you didn't do well, but that was about it. It's also kind of a weird, it's a weird environment to be dropped off into this place where you don't excel, and that's all that they do in that environment, yeah. And it's all you're judged by for 8 hours a day, every day. Like, it'd be like if they just dropped you off at a hacky sack convention, and you just sucked at hacky sack. And that's all you did all day, every day. And by the way, how long before you dreaded it? You know, like, geez, I suck at this. And look at that kid over there who's had that hacky sack in the air for 10 minutes now. I can barely kick it once without, I can't hit it with the other foot. I kick it once. It goes into a potted plant over there. It knocked over a glass, you know. How long before you just go, I don't want to go to hacky sack convention anymore, not for 8 hours a day.
Don't you think it's changed where a lot of schools now you're judged by things other than, if you do well, you're actually ostracized. And there are a lot of schools in L.A. where unless you're cool or you're a member of a certain group, you're considered to be stupid.
Yeah, it's a whole different it's a whole different criteria now. But – and some of it's progress and some of it's retardation. But the – or advancement and retardation there. A better context. But for me, it was pretty much just school, and you either got good grades and you were smart, and you got bad grades, you're dumb. And so I was just dumb. And that was about it. That's where you were. That's how you lived. You just lived in that dumb world. And then you started, acting as if, you know, you just sort of forget your books, forget your locker combinations, stop. You know, I wouldn't fill out stuff. You know, I just sit there. I just basically sit there and wait till it was over. You know, if we took a test, I could do like true false or multiple choice, but I couldn't do the essay part. So I'd just sit there. You know, and then eventually the bell would ring and you just leave.
Did anybody recognize intelligence in you, like in shop class or in sport? Because in sports, what about strategy in football? I mean, baseball, football, sports, there's tremendous strategy.
Strategy, but not when you're playing, really.
Remembering plays, I guess maybe you're getting more into.
No.
No.
No, I get what you're saying about people recognizing something, but not from playing baseball or playing football. They could recognize some sort of verbalization skill or some sort of sense of humor, some sort of ability to communicate or something that'd be a marker for intelligence. Like if somebody said, that kid's D minus. He's not smart. And you saw that kid like holding court and making 10 other kids laugh like all during lunch. You'd go, well, don't tell me that's a dumb kid. That kid is mesmerized. All these other kids are laughing. He's captivating an audience on his feet, improvising. You can't say that guy's dumb. You could say he's not good at taking history exams, but don't that kid's got something. He's up on his feet at lunchtime pontificating. Everyone's around him laughing. Like, why? How can you write that guy off as dumb?
Right. And comedy, too. I've always, IQ tests, you're looking at pattern recognition, recognizing sequences, what comes next. And in comedy, it's recognizing, I mean, it's having associations that other people don't see. It's seeing patterns that other people don't see. It seems like that's one of the aspects of comedy where, like yourself, when you're doing comedy, I've watched it, it's like, you know, you're remembering things, you're comparing things, you're pointing things out other people don't see. That seems to be a requirement. You have to be intelligent to do that.
You do have to be intelligent to do that, but where I'm from, in the time I'm from, and the place I'm from, and the family I'm from, with the friends I'm from, that was not a prerequisite. They did not factor that in. So it was sort of like they couldn't find that, I don't know, be like blood doping. They didn't have a test for it back then.
Right.
So you could have as much of it in your system as you wanted. They didn't have a way to detect it. So there was only certain ways to measure intelligence. And the one you just mentioned was not a way to measure intelligence, not according to friends or family or teachers or counselors or anybody. It was pretty much, show me your report card and we'll find out how smart you are. And then they would look at my report card and just go, well, obviously you're not smart. And that was sort of the end of the, we never had that discussion. Now, if you think that you can take these skills that you speak of and impress those around you, if they don't have an antenna, meaning they're not smart or they're not interested or they're not, you know, they're completely zoned out, they're completely uninterested, or in the cases of most of my friends, they're fucking dumb. Well, then how is it that they would pick up on this? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Do you think like if you took your average 10-year-old kid and you said to him, would you like the sushi that you can get at the gas station, or would you like to go to a real sushi restaurant with me? I mean real, where it's pretty much no rice. It's pretty much all fish. They don't even give you – there's no teriyaki sauce. There's no Kiko Man. You know, it is like real sushi, hardcore, high-end, like real expensive, real authentic. Well, that's real sushi. You think the 11-year-old wants that? No, the 11-year-old wants to shit at the gas station because they're not good. They can't appreciate
it. Right.
So my fucking dumb shit family, my stupid-ass friends, nobody, they wanted to go to the gas station and get good sushi.
Right.
They weren't appreciate what I was doing. You get it?
Yep.
So, and the same with my counselors and the same with my teachers. They wanted the fucking gas station sushi. That's what they thought that was the good stuff. They probably still do. So they didn't. You're sitting around going, why didn't they appreciate your sushi? Like, because they're too fucking stupid. They're not. They have no training. They weren't comedians. They weren't chefs. You know what I mean? They didn't have. What was their reference point? Bunch of fucking dumbos from the valley who are fucking illiterate too. Like, right. Well, how are they supposed to appreciate my fine sushi?
But what, I think
my mom wouldn't even talk. How is she going to appreciate it? My stepdad didn't talk. My dad didn't talk. Like they couldn't have been less interested in sushi. Like how is it that they would somehow appreciate what I had?
Yeah. Well, I think these days they're learning.
These days, yes.
They're learning disabilities. Whether it's dyslexia or ADHD, it's recognized there's intelligence that can be masked also by disabilities and learning. So
I didn't have any disabilities.
Yeah.
I didn't.
I think, well, your written word, your processing of written words.
No. I'm going to argue with you, but first we'll talk to Robert over here.
Okay.
Robert, 33.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, man.
Adam, I listening to those old love lines, and it was crazy. I heard you guys actually talking about driving through this little border town I'm living in, El Centro. I couldn't believe you'd even heard of it before Calexico, El Centro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, I've got a herniated disc that I've been dealing with. I messed my back up bowling, and living in this town that I'm in, I've been dealing with sketchy doctors, and I just kind of wanted to pick Bruce's brain a little bit and see what he thinks as far as, like, I mean, is this something that can heal itself? Because there's a lot of, you know, crazy stories on the internet. Some people say you're kind of destined to go under the knife. I just wanted to know what he thought about that.
Have you you've had an MRI?
Yes, I did, and you can see it's a L5S1. It's not just a herniation, but it's they called it something else, where it's shot the stuff out, and it's impinging on the nerve.
Okay. All right, couple things. First off, when you're 30, how do you jack up your back bowling?
You tell me, man. I don't know. Right. It's ridiculous.
Let me ask you something. What is this crazy chasm in backs? I played 10 and a half years of football. I did construction my whole life. I've never stretched a day in my life, and my back is fucking fine. I know guys that have gotten surgery, and I said, what happened? What'd you do to your back? They said, I got up out of bed, like, weird, and I just felt it go, and next thing you know, I'm getting back surgery. And then secondly, is back surgery, does it ever work?
Yes, but okay, so you got your vertebrae and you got your discs. And
right.
Most people, if you did an MRI on you, you'd say, oh, you have some hernia, you have some squeezing, the disc is sticking out. And it depends if he's taking this.
How's it I have zero back pain 100% of the time?
Because it's not significant, and that's the issue. If you have neurologic deficit, like if I'm in the ER, somebody comes in, oh, I've got severe low back pain. Getting plain x-rays really don't tell you much unless you got a fracture.
I would leave surgery for the very last.
Right.
Thing.
So the idea is, would I ask patients, have you lost control of your bowel or bladder? Do you have fixed numbness or weakness that's new? Do you have a neurologic deficit? Is it bad enough to cause those kind of symptoms? If you have pain radiating down your leg, or your doctor, a surgeon, now he's saying he has not such reliable doctors. What some of them will do, they'll say, oh, look at your MRI. It's abnormal. You need surgery. The question is, how bad is it? Is it causing any functional?
Robert, I would do everything I could do to not have surgery.
Right. Have you gone to, like, physical medicine and rehab doctor, you know, someone other than a surgeon for care?
Everything is a struggle down here. You got to just keep on these people. I'm supposed to start physical therapy this upcoming Monday, so we'll see how that goes. And things are getting better. You know, the pain in a lot of ways is starting to go away. But
how about
hardcore sciatica.
How about taking, like, yoga classes and that kind of stuff?
Bruce, I'd be down for it. Is that advisable?
You got to go to physical medicine and rehab. That's a specialty, okay? And it sounds like you've been referred there, and they work on strengthening muscles and non-surgical means and non-pharmacological
means. Could yoga be a bad thing?
It could be. It just depends on the...
Could it be a good thing?
Yes. Yes, but
thank you for answering that question.
Well, it's a rhetorical. A lot of you are rhetorical questions.
No, I just mean I would start with taking the yoga class if you're waiting.
No, yeah, I would start. You go to physical medicine and rehab.
They're putting him off.
No, they're putting him. He's going to. He says a physical therapist, but I'm sure he's going to PM&R, physical medicine.
He's not
and rehab.
Going. They're putting him off. Robert,
no. He said he's starting it.
Yeah, I'm supposed to start Monday.
Aha! Uh-huh. All right, we'll start Monday and get back to us, but don't have surgery.
Don't have surgery.
It never works.
All right.
Strung out on Percocet.
Well, it's like saying months. You have a herniated disc is like saying, you know, give me a good analogy. It can be from, it's like if you have a sprained ankle, is 1% of the ligament torn or 99%? Those are all second degree sprains. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's such a wide variation
yes. In
how much herniation there is.
Yeah. Okay. Don't trust it. All right. I don't have any dyslexia or problem with the word. With the written word. I just never learned to read. So, like, I had a problem with the written word because I never learned it. Not because I had a problem physically or mentally. I had a problem in that I never read. I never learned to read. That's where my problem came in. So I didn't recognize words, but I shouldn't have recognized words. I couldn't have read. I never learned. You don't know how to read just because you're in our society. You got to learn. You got to read.
Right, but it sounds like you had some neglect issues just in terms of growing up with you in your mom and dad's house. And
they're horrible, but I didn't have any. I actually read quite fine now that I've learned to read.
Right.
I didn't know how to read. Mm-hmm. That was my issue.
Okay, so we can't attach any learning disabilities.
I didn't have any disabilities. I was actually fine. I just never learned how to read. So you wouldn't know how to read any more than you'd know the rules of a game that you never played.
So if you were put in a school today with all the trying to recognize either a learning disability or somebody who's not being challenged, you think it would be different? Because it seems like back then it was just everything was black and white.
You just sat there, and if you could do the work, you do the work. And if you couldn't do the work, you're just warehoused. So I just got warehoused. I just waited until it was over. When it was over, I left. And then the idea was, when it's over, seeing as how this has been the worst 10 years of your life, I mean, where you've excelled the least, or, 12 years of your life, whatever it was, the plan then was, let's not do this again. That was the plan. So if you're going to sit here in this environment where you have to read and write and put ideas together and present ideas and papers and things like that, let's get as far away from this as we humanly possibly can, thus digging ditches, cleaning carpets, working construction. That's about as far away from an academic environment as you can get. So I went over here where you go to a construction site, you'll never read anything ever again. You read a McDonald's drive-through menu. That's about it. There is no discussion on what anyone's reading. No one ever said, like, hey, I got a really good book idea for you or anything. When you're on a construction site, it'll never come up again.
But, okay, so since I've known you, though, you've been designing stuff. On some of your construction projects, you've got to have skills in terms of processing information, reading, writing. So is that something you develop later on? Because I've wondered about that.
Probably. It's hard to tell because I didn't do anything all through junior high and high school other than sort of sit around. I don't have any. It's hard to tell if I had any special skills in anything because I never did anything. No one ever asked, never came up. Kind of interesting. But and if you're talking about being a parent or a counselor or a teacher, it's the exact opposite of what you want out of counselors and teachers, to not recognize anything and to just to keep warehousing. But on the other hand, what do they care? They're just losers. And now they realize that teachers are kind of losers who just tapped out of life. You basically just went, screw it. I can't cut it. I can't go out there and compete in an open market system. I'll just take this super soft cop-out road and I'll be a teacher. I'll be a school counselor. I had Mr. Tomey, my school counselor, he didn't do any counseling. He sat in an office all day and hammered a paycheck and got paid, 2 weeks for Christmas and 10 days for Easter and had 3 months off. He didn't do shit. He just sat there in an office. He wasn't counseling anybody. He didn't help anyone. He didn't do anything. Every once in a while, somebody got suspended or got into trouble or got whatever, and he had to go suspend somebody or fill out some paperwork or call somebody, pull an emergency card or call somebody at home. But Mr. Tomey didn't do any counseling. He just fucking sat around and hammered checks. Mr. Tomey just ripped off the taxpayers. That's all he did. He'd do the same thing we'd all do. If somebody went, here, go to this place. No one ever asked you any questions. You'll get $51,000 a year for the rest of your life. You retire when you're 55, 80% salary, and you got a strong union, medical and dental. Don't worry about it.
You're jaded because of the place you went in the valley.
Yeah, it's fucking horrible.
Right.
I want to know.
If you went to Drew's
school. How many great teachers? He went to a private school,
right?
Idiot.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, listen, you go to a private school, you can't have any Mr. Tomeys at a private school. People have to actually produce.
You know what you'd be now? You'd be an orthopedic surgeon.
I'd be an orthopedic surgeon. Yes, you would. I'd be performing back surgery on myself. You want to go to Drew's school and you got to show up, you got to do something. You want to go to North Hollywood High, you lock yourself in a windowless office, you become Mr. Tomey, and you don't give a shit.
What would Drew be if he went to North Hollywood High?
Junkie out on the streets right now. No, that's what I'm saying. Most of these teachers don't have to compete. If you're doing it in a private setting, then you have to compete, or you have a certain level that you have to rise to. Raise counselor, my counselor, they didn't have to rise to any level. They just had to leave us alone.
I can't imagine being Ray's counselor, though. I mean, come on.
Oh, man.
That would be enough to...
Poor Mr. Hanson. All right. I'll tell you about something that's going to put you in a better mood. True Car, man. Shopping for a car, make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. People configure cars online only to find out they're not available. True Car. Real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from an actual True Car certified dealer. They're nationwide. Over 3 million cars have been sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers. Wherever you are, there's one near you. Their users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So, if you're out there looking for a car, you want to go new, you want to go used, you want to go True Car. When you're ready to buy, visit True Car, see what other people are paying, and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. You do what our own Chris Maxipata did. You go online, you go to True Car, you find your car, you lock it in, you get your certificate, you pick up your car. It's True Car. Some features not available in all states. All right, let's see. On the same subject, Lester, 37, San Diego. Lester?
Hey, Ace, man. How you doing?
Good, man.
All right. Big fan. Hello to you, too, Dr. Bruce. Hey. Not a medical question. Before I go, Adam, I want to thank you for Mangria. It's a good thing to bring to family gatherings with the black people. You know, we drink a lot of Hennessy.
Oh.
It's a good switch up.
You get your
I
buzz
like
on.
People hooked on it.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you. I'd like to penetrate
it.
The urban community and poison it.
It's cultural appropriation.
That's right. That's right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to. I'm a longtime listener and a faithful listener at that. Some of your things you say, and it seems like you lack empathy for the point of view of African Americans in the country. What I mean by that is, I agree with you on a lot of points as far as like the father being in the house makes a difference. A nuclear family. I grew up in that. But the thing that sometimes we go through that a lot of people don't get is we are judged sometimes by our skin. We're trapped in our skin. Some people are going to judge you regardless of that.
Yep.
I got a lot of examples of that in life, and that does get frustrating. And that does, and if you like certain instances of that for time, a lot of that happening over time, that does get frustrating, and it does make you kind of look at the system in a way. I never grew up with a victim mentality or blaming like the white man for every problem. I didn't grow up with that. You can hear my accent. I'm originally from Atlanta. So I got grandparents and great grandparents that are still alive. They told me about a lot of stuff during the civil rights movement, a lot of stuff. But I was always told you don't judge people as a group. You judge people by individual. So, and that's what I was always told. So that kind of got rid of that. But you can't get out of your skin. And sometimes when certain things you say, that's why I'm calling questioning, like, do you take that into a factor with certain things you say sometimes?
I don't have empathy for most people, regardless, whatever they are. You know what I mean? It's like short men have a harder time in our society than tall guys do. If you ever do a study of like CEOs of Fortune 100 companies, none of them are under 6 foot tall. They're
people
that look stupid. They're people that look incompetent. You know what I mean? Like when George Clooney looks like he could fly your airplane, Lou Pearlman doesn't. You'd have to Google that and you'd understand what I'm saying. There are many people that have many things, and I could make an argument for many things I was missing growing up, and then there are many things I had that other people didn't have. And my main argument is I don't want to discuss it. I want everyone to thrive. I want everyone to move forward. And when we sit down and start discussing why it is that you're not moving forward, and it has to do with something you can't change, such as being under 6 foot tall or many other characteristics, some of having a big nose, having a double chin, having whatever. Some people have beady eyes. You know, they just like, they don't look trustworthy. You know, some guys start going bald when they're 25 and they get put on another list. And each race has their own thing. I mean, there's plenty of stuff with black races. There's plenty of stuff with Asian races. There's plenty of stuff with women. And now, as it pertains to a lot of stuff, it's, again, you see a young black teenager walking down the side of the street, you go, huh, I'm going to go to the other street, because statistically that guy robs more people than an Asian woman. But if I saw a young black woman and a young Asian man, I might walk over to the young black woman's side of the street, because statistically women don't commit violent crime. And even though the guy's Asian, I'm still going to take my chances with the female. So there's a lot of that that goes on. And no, I'm not sympathetic. And the reason I'm not sympathetic is because I don't want to hold the people back. I feel like when you start preaching to them that it's not a level playing field, or you have a target on your back, or there's systemic racism, that's one more reason not to leave the house in the morning. I would rather preach that most people have something. Sometimes it's perceived, sometimes it's invisible, sometimes it exists, that is not what you call a great attribute or something that could be a reason to hold them back. We all have things. Even the people, if you sat Dr. Drew down, the whitest, bluest-eyed guy on the planet, he would tell you he could fill a volume of encyclopedias with all the stuff he'd had to overcome, or all the whatever he'd inflicted on himself, or whatever it is. So it sounds like tough. It's just kind of, it's not tough shit. It's tough love, I guess, is what it is. And Lester, you get judged by your skin color, no doubt about it. On the other hand, you come into work and you kick ass, you will immediately be known as the guy who kicks ass, not the black guy who kicks ass, the guy who kicks ass. So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I would encourage that you go through life that way. And you can say, yeah, but what about this? What's it like being a fat chick in our society? You want to talk about the rung. You know how I say to people all the time? I know guys, and these guys would bang a blonde chick, a black chick, an Asian chick, an Indian chick, provided she was hot.
Right.
Fat chick? Sorry. Ugly chick?
Yeah.
No. So in a weird way, hot black chick, miles higher than ugly fat white chick. I'm just saying, Lester, I respect what you're saying, and I like the way you're saying it, and I agree. I don't disagree with what you're saying. What I'm saying is let's not get mired in it. Let's all make some hay while the sun is shining. Our society, not perfect, better than just about any other society. If you want to come down, you want to get to work. And not to mention, being a black male, there are many businesses that are looking to fill out their roster with a black male, or fill in the ethnicity, because we're now looking for diversity and a balance and so on and so forth. So in a way, if you want to come down to Hollywood and you want to get a job in a writer's room, being a black male will actually be helpful to you. Yes, Bruce.
Let me ask. So I have a friend, and we were talking about this, and I sort of had your viewpoint, Adam, and Lester, I'd like you to comment. And he said to me, you know, my son's going to college at mixed-race college in the South, and I did have given that talk about, you go out in the community and I date with a white woman, be careful. Now, do you agree with that? Because I'd say there is, you know, you're in the South.
I can speak on that perfectly. I graduated from the University of Georgia. I'm happy. We're in the playoffs, so go dog.
Yeah, dog.
With a W. Yes, all right. With a W. There you go, Adam. I was in college. University of Georgia is probably, I would say, maybe 4%, maybe 3% black. We'll be walking from the bars, and this happened numerous times. I'd be with a group of my white friends, and the campus police. You ever seen that movie with Ice Cube, Higher Learning?
I try not to support urban theater, but go ahead.
Yeah. But no, we'll stop, and they'll question me, where's your ID? And I'm with a group of friends, and they'll be telling them, like, whoa, he's a student. What are you doing? And so I mean, I
agree.
You know, that's discouraging.
So no, I agree. Like, I'm never going to argue with you. My thing is like, fine, you're smart. You moved to San Diego. There's less
right,
of that.
But recognizing that
I do. I never say it doesn't exist. But, Bruce and Lester, what you need to, one thing you also need to recognize, and I wish all the black community would recognize this one simple truth. I've had three motorcycles towed. I've been pulled out, stopped, pulled out of cars. You don't understand that almost every poor white person has had his run-ins with the cops, have been pulled over for nothing.
Handcuffed.
Been like, I've been arrested before. I got pulled off my motorcycle. The motorcycle got towed. I got arrested. I had warrants. But here's my whole point. I've been stopped 1,000 times too. Every cop I've had is a total asshole to me. I've had a million chicken shit tickets. I've been pulled over for no front license plate like 5 times or an illegal tint. They do it to everybody all the time. Now, I'm not saying that it is not exacerbated, let's say, by the color of your skin, but let it be known that I could sit down and tell you I could talk for 2 hours nonstop about stories where cops were total assholes to me for no good reason and fucked my shit over royally. And so could all my other stupid, poor white friends. So they mainly prey on poor people versus the color skin. But there's racism out there. I love your listen, Lester, I love your posture. I love your attitude. And forgive me if I said there wasn't racism. I'm saying let's not make a career out of it. Let's go out and be judged by our work, even if a small percentage judge us by our skin color.
Dr. Martin Luther Corolla.
Thank you, Lester. I appreciate it. Ultimately, you start getting judged by your work. You initially get judged by many other things. But ultimately, and pretty quickly, you start getting judged by your work. And that's what people need to understand. You feel me?
Yeah.
And everybody is in business, and everyone will happily keep the black guy and fire the white guy if the black guy's doing better work.
Job,
because
right.
Guess, I may be racist, but the thing I like more than racism, money. That's me. All right. Stamps.com. Ooh, you want to save some money? Go with Stamps.com. Holidays, busiest time of the year, man. Who has time for the post office? Use Stamps.com instead. All the services the U.S. Postal Service offers at your fingertips. Buy and print official U.S. postage. Any letter, any package, any class of mail, using your own computer and printer. Then the mailman just picks it up, send you a digital scale. It'll automatically calculate the exact postage. We use it here for all our shipping. And right now, you can enjoy Stamps.com with a special offer. That's right. That's a special offer. Stamps.com. They got a 4-week special trial plus postage. And the digital scale without long-term commitments. What do you do? Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in ADS, that's stamps.com, type in ADS, get the postage, get the scale, get it all, stamps.com, enter ADS. All right, so I was saying that Jimmy's the best reader in the world, and I was the worst reader in the world, so it was tough sitting next to the best reader in the world. You realize how much it would come up. Like, we would go together to host award shows or hand out a ceremony. And I'd be up there fumbling through the teleprompter, and he'd be like, scroll it, and the only thing that makes, it's like saying, look, when you're a fat guy, you want to sit between two fatter people, not two fitness experts. You know, you're just going to look that much worse. The other thing that I did is I couldn't read the teleprompter, and my head would sweat.
Oh,
I always
get
a sweaty head. Dr. Drew doesn't have sweat glands. show hands. Anyone ever seen Dr. Drew sweaty? He's always like powdery dry. Like, he's dry. He's bone dry. You ever see Dr. Drew sweat?
No.
Now you know why? He's never sweated. He doesn't sweat. He's never sweat. I've sat, you know, you shoot stuff and there's like lights and their thing and they go, shut the air, because the air makes noise. When you're in a studio, they always have to shut it down before they start filming because the ducts are like above you. You know, they'll go, shut it, shut the air. Okay, we're shooting, shut the air. They shut the air down and the lights are all up on the grids and the racks. And I'm sitting there and the sweat's just starting to accumulate on my forehead. And there's Dr. Drew, bone dry, just bone dry. Now, when you're both sweating, you can go, whoo, it's hot in here. Yeah, man, it's hot. Hey, let's get the air. When one guy's bone dry and the other guy's sweating, the sweaty guy just looks like a nervous junkie sitting next to the bone dry guy. I defy anyone. You find me a picture of Drew sweating. Find a photograph somewhere, running, jogging, exercising, a hot summer day. Like, you've never seen that guy. He's not only is his skin not sweaty, it's the opposite of sweaty. It's like he has powder on it. And yeah, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what kind of studio or how many lights or where you're at. He never goes, like, he'll never go, like, well, okay, whoo, turn that air on. Let's go, you know, or let's get it back on. Like, I would be like, when you stop filming, they'd always forget to turn the air back on. I'd be like, turn the air on, turn it on. And they'd be like, huh? Okay, chung. They turn it back on again.
I noticed when you do TVs, I know you've had the procedure to stop sweating, but you still sweat and you can tell.
He's the best, isn't he?
Ah, so, took three episodes.
It took three episodes.
It's also autonomic nervous system differences. And I think the way you and Drew deal with stress, the way you...
First off, no, I'm not sweaty. I have been sweaty on TV, but I'm not sweaty on TV.
I've noticed a little.
It can happen. I'm not saying I don't sweat, but I'm saying it's not traditionally what I do on TV.
No, but if you and Drew are, you're saying if you guys are sitting in the same situation, the guy.
No, now we're talking about me on TV. I'm not saying I'm not ever sweaty on TV, but I'm not typically sweaty on TV, douche.
Okay.
Go ahead. Say your piece.
No, I'm just saying in that hot environment, remember I injected your forehead? I'm just talking about in the lights where
Don't backtrack. I know what you're saying. I've done it. Okay. All Thank right. you. Anyway, nightstand. That's what I want to say. You got the iPhone, the iPad, the AirPods. At the end of the day, my devices, you come home, you got all these things. They become a mess. Try to put them next to your bed. You try to charge everything up. They get all complicated and get all tied up and all that kind of stuff. Not anymore. Nightstand. NYTSTND. It's a charging station that charges up to 9 devices at the same time. No stacking devices. Protect your screens from scratching. Plus, optional wireless charger that works with any iPhone 8 or 8 Plus. And iPhone X, I think that's the 10, man, or compatible with Android smartphones. Not some big Chinese company. Started out on Etsy. Made in America. 2-day free shipping. Not too bad. Prepare for Christmas. They got a sale coming up. Our listeners get 15% off of any order over $80 by entering promo code ADS at checkout. This is a great new invention. You're going to need it. And let's get organized in 2018. Let's get one of these. Nightstand, NYTSTND.com. It's the perfect gift. Let's get going. Save 15% off any order over $80 by entering the promo code ADS. All right. Let's see. Live basic cable commentary. That's coming up. That's Cobra. That's Thursday, January 25th. Irvine. iTunes. You can rate and review us. Say hi. Check out Lynette over there, Corolla Drinks. Until next time, Adam Corolla for Dr. Bruce saying mahalo.